It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
The lines are lighting up, so I'll just introduce myself. I guess you heard it. But hope you hear more of me. I've been around for 49 years on the radio at least, and 7 years, for those of you just joining, as a hypnotherapist. Hypnotherapist. I didn't say it. I slurred that remark. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about human beings that I never would have learned before, and you couldn't get from books. And everything you hear from me tonight will not be in books. That also may not be a good thing, but it may not be a bad thing, you see. So I want you to listen, and if anything strikes you, would you give me a call? It's 800-866-8883. I get the two numbers mixed together. My office number, by the way, is 877-3227. And the one on the radio, the one you're listening to right now, 9211 800-866-8883. I'm not young anymore, so I sometimes get my facts tangled up or the numbers tangled up, so you'll excuse me. I don't have any idiot cards in front of me because I'm idiot enough to stand on my own 2 feet and just blurb out whatever comes. So I want to help you to train your mind. Let's call it basic training of the mind. There is a basic training which you, if you have learned it from your father, and that's the best person to learn it from, but the father got chucked out of the house, or he wasn't in the house even though he was there, if you know what I mean. So had he been a good example, and had not your mother helped him to be a bad one by loving him too much and then feeling frustrated because the love doesn't come back, only sex does, you would not have been in the mess that you're in now. And so this evening I intend to give you everything your parents never taught you. But if you go back as many generations as you want, you could hardly find a parent who knew. And it is, I don't know, by providence, divine providence, that I've discovered these secrets. And I will share with you on the radio program. All you have to do is step forward and say, I got this problem or that problem. That shouldn't be so hard. But the trouble is, to admit you have a problem, well, that's one thing. But you expect, you're going to get what you don't expect. And so when you listen to the program, you may take second thoughts before you call me, because sometimes I'm gentle, and sometimes I'm not. And sometimes I take you by surprise. You think you're being candid with me, and you understand what I just said, and I turn around and show you that you don't. And you may have listened to me for 30 years. I've been on the radio for almost 50, and but still don't understand. I've been married to a woman for almost 57 years. Come next year, I'll be 57. And she doesn't understand what I'm saying. She can repeat it. She can give a lecture, but she doesn't know what she's saying. A lot of people like that. They can give talks and lectures, and you go to school, and if your book learned, you look very intelligent. And then you say some very intelligent things. And you can be a doctor and really not know a hell of what you've been taught, but you practice it anyway, and you get away with it because the patients don't know any better. They don't know what you didn't say and what you didn't know, or what you kept from them, for whatever reasons, for selfish reasons. The doctor's only human. Psychiatrist's only human. You've got to deal with treachery, you know, and troubled minds in there. So I've been around for 81 years, and I've learned everything by suffering through the medical matrix. And I'm, even though I wish I had not have gone through it, it would be better, I suppose, in some ways, that I didn't go through it, because I would have been, I'm a strong, healthy young man when I got stricken by swimming in the ocean and getting poisoned by poo. Pardon me where I said that, but, you know, we have a processing plant for human excrement down the mile or two down in the ocean where I live, and I go swimming in the ocean, and there you go. It wasn't cooked. You know, what could I do? But they didn't, you know, it made me very ill, and 30 years I suffered. But in 30 years I discovered what something's gone wrong with medicine. Very, very wrong, and it's going to get wronger. So if I were you, listen very closely, because it's better if you didn't need a psychiatrist or a doctor. It's really much better. In the old days, it was better because they were mostly decent. Now they're mostly incompetent. And you suffered. Over 200,000 people die every year, and you don't blink an eyelid from mistakes the doctors make. And they're not ashamed. They publish it. You don't blink an eye. It's like dope to you. You don't overlook what's killing you. What's saving you is claiming you. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, hello again. I'm Roy Masters, as pronounced. I'm here to help you with your problems. I got some lines full, or one line at least full, so I think I'll take that and spare you a lot of pontification. I did open with a lot of pontification. And if you missed it, too bad. It's like a movie. You can come in and kind of know what the script was like. If you know, mostly you can tell these days what the movie is like, which you missed. And everybody's life is a movie. And there's about maybe 20 different scripts. That's all. You ever see those commercials? And every commercial say, if you call right now, you know, it's just a formula. If you call right now, but what it is, everyone is exactly alike. I'll give you two. No, hold it. I've got to give you three. And so everyone, no matter what you sell that way, we don't notice it. We buy and buy and buy and buy. The script is the same, but the product's different. And the one that can impress you with his doggy behavior, you know, I don't know how to say that. What's the name of the doctor? The doggy doctor. Cesar Milano. Cesar Milan. What's the name of the program? I forgot. Dog Whisperer. That's it. See, I wasn't prepared. Dog Whisperer. I mean, all dogs, there's different breeds of dogs, and every dog has a different temperament. It comes to the world. Human beings have different temperaments. Some people are strong, some people are skinny by nature, and some people are much easier to impress. But in the long run, there's about 20 different varieties of thinking, and then they repeat themselves over again. You know, it's like you're a character actor, like a person that's hired to play a part, like a cab driver or a preacher, the snobbish preacher, the hypocritical preacher, or whatever, the drunk and the floozy at the bar. They're all these characters. The human nature has these characters, this machinery that they come with that develop in duplicate ways. It's the same kind of body as a human being. Each one plays a certain role, the gambler, the drug pusher, and the addict. But the drug pusher has precise behaviors programmed into him. And he makes a living over someone's dying, and the person that's dying is programmed to give that person a living, to give his substance. And it's repeated over and over again. These various different products, but the same sin, the same temptation. Same temptation. What are those two temptations? Tease. It's sensual temptations, but mostly intimidation. So if you can boil it down to one, intimidation is tease. A woman will intimidate with her body. And a man, on the other hand, men, they don't intimidate their body so much unless they're female, feminine. But they will use their manly strength to tease a woman into submission. Aggravate, tease, bully. And so that is the level of the human race as I see it. And so I'm looking at America that has nothing, most likely, most people like this. So if you're one of those, you need my help. But if you're one of those people, you may not be capable of seeing that you need help. You may be one of those people who thinks there's something wrong with me for saying there's something wrong with you and you've identified yourself. And if you're angry right now, you're one of them. Now, what a way to start a program. So I'm going to welcome my first caller to the show, 800-866-8883. And if you're brave, you'll step up to the mic and put aside your fears and anxieties to the best you can and tell me where it hurts. See, and then I'm going to ask you some very simple questions. But the tone of your voice, the choice of words, will identify you as one of those people. And then you're going to say to yourself, how the hell did you know about my life? And as a matter of fact, you might be driving your car and hear me talking about something as if I was talking to you. That's because you're one of those typecast people. See? And you think you're different. Well, no. You're not different because everybody wants to be different. That's what makes you all alike. All right, let's take our first call. Would you like my phone number, or are you going to stay scared to death, you know, cringing in the corner somewhere, munching on whatever it is? I don't even know the name of the kind of food that you eat. I'm not familiar with it anymore. Crunchies and munchies and whatever the breakfast cereal is, Wheaties and Schmeaties. You know, you even eat the wrong food and think nothing about it. And you die from eating the wrong food. And if I was to tell you what a good diet is, you'd laugh at me. Anyway, I'm running out of things to say. And we'll take our calls. 800-866-8883. Write that down so I don't have to repeat myself too often, please. I'm here to serve you. I don't mean to be mean. I just want you to call me and tell me what the problem is. That I want a person who has tried everything and nothing works. And let me be your last resort. You should have come to me first, actually, but you have to try the other way. That's traditional. Everybody goes to your doctor and psychiatrist and all, and the minister. And they all look like they have answers. But sometimes they do if you break a leg. I get it. But when it comes to the deepness or the depth of human nature, they know nothing. I will, anytime a psychiatrist would like to, or minister would like to talk to me about the things I say on this program and disagree with me, I would be happy to have him on, okay, or him or her on as a guest. But you need to, you know, call up in advance and say, I want to disagree with Roy Masters. I want to be on with him. And I'll give you a little while, and if you're interesting, I'll leave you on. But you have to challenge me. You have to say, this is what you say, and it has to be accurate, and I take umbrage to that, or I disagree with it, and here's why. I want you to correct me, because I need correction too. I need your love, meaning if I'm wrong, if I'm a Lulu, don't sit and judge me for it. Call me up and say, let me tell you what your problem is. I've been through something like that. Let me give you a bit of advice. I'll listen. That's what I'm doing to you. I expect someone to do it to me, but nobody ever does. That's 49 years and going. Nobody. Nobody calls, really disagree with me, for that matter, except to make noises on the telephone. Unmentionable noises, actually. All right, now we're going to take a caller. Let me read. Is it? I can't read. My glasses won't work tonight. Brad, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Brad. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Are you ready for my...
I am ready and waiting.
Okay. So I was actually listening to a taped program, and I called, and he said if I held on that I could... tell you what I wanted to talk about. He said it didn't matter what it was about. So
no, it doesn't. Go ahead.
So One of my major problems is that I concentrate on other people's weaknesses and that kind of especially like my wife, and that prevents me from looking at myself and.
Well, that's very good. It's a very good observation, and you're probably a lot like your mother.
My mom.
Yeah.
I'm actually more like my dad in that respect.
Well, then he was like his mother.
Oh, okay.
That's a woman's trait. Judgment is not. Men don't judge if they're men. Men have to bear the judgment of their wives because they deserve it, I suppose, because they're not men enough. That's how men become women, when they don't know how to deal with the judgments of their wife. The judgment sets other people up to fail. So in most families, you have the wife unconsciously setting her husband up to fail. And she does that first by engaging him in marriage or a relationship and loving him, you know, loving him in a way that makes him dependent on her affections. And so, and then judging him for his weakness for her, even though she, how can I say that? The weakness of a man is unconsciously what a woman wants. And so she caters to that weakness in that man as if it were love to begin with. And so when he falls in love, he actually falls from what love is all about. And then she gets to judge him. But when she's judged him, she may feel a little guilty, but then she becomes addicted to his failing so she can judge him, because the more he fails, the more she gets to judge, and the more she has to look away from herself by damning him. And that's what the present government is doing now, is setting people up to fail and coming to the rescue like women. It's a woman's trick, see? And that's what you see with all the commercials preceding the elections. You saw all those people talking to all of us as like we were, you know, talking to people on the right like they were scoundrels and no good scum. And to everybody who's decent, they would look upon people who had values and virtues as if they were, you know, nobodies and dirt and scumbags. And that's how you'd see. And you go to school and you get the same. Years ago, you got the same thing going to school. And if the teachers' unions did that and demoralized their children. So it is not unusual to get power by setting people up to fail, by pretending to love them. And your government does the same thing right now. The government, it's the same technique. So you just put people on welfare. And the fact that they don't work makes them feel like they're kings. And they get sort of like a tribute. The money they get from welfare is like a tribute. And for a while, they feel superior to other people because they don't have to work. And so, therefore, the government robs people to pay Paul. Same principle. Robs Peter, taxpayer, work hard, to pay Paul, and it breeds more of them and than there is of us. And so that's how you have, you know, a dictatorship in the long run, because the principle is feminine. It's seduction, hurt and rescue, rescue and hurt. And so when I say to you that you're setting up people to fail, it's a feminine game you're playing. It's a woman's game. And whether you got it from your father, then he must have got it from his mother, because it's not a masculine trait. It's a feminine trait that men have to learn to tolerate and overcome. Because everyone who gets married gets judged by the wife. Now, every member of my family's done that to their husbands. And their husbands haven't always dealt with it properly, but they learn to deal with it properly and live happily ever after. But the women can't help themselves to set men up to fail by rising to the occasion of their need. I wrote an article one time. Now, am I talking too much?
No, I'm I have another question, but you're probably going to get to it eventually.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I just thought I'd throw it out to you, because you want to throw off this feminine nature.
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yes. Well, you need a direct relationship with God, or if you're a Christian, Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You need to sit still and let your conscience catch up. But you see, the trouble is, by your very statement, you said yourself you knew what you were doing. I'm focusing other people's problems, which means you're setting them up to fail and you're judging them. Which to say, let me say it again, when you look to a look at a person who you have projected a problem, so whether they have a problem to begin with or not, by sitting there and judging them, you are causing it to happen. And so they get worse. And so if you look at people with yesterday's eyes, they never recover, because you never see them get better. Even if they get better right in front of your nose, the feminine nature won't look at it. It will always remember that you're a drunk. And even if you're getting better and you wake up next morning and Roy Masters has helped you and you're perfectly, within a week, you're a new man, she has to look at herself. People, that's why you have a relationship and you won't let your wife get better. She's playing the man's role and you're playing the woman's role. She has to put up with your crap, your judgment. Am I right?
Yeah, I think you said in your last program, what did you say? Something. Oh, darn, I forget what it was. But
you're getting old.
I guess so, yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I'm only 29, but I guess I'm getting old.
Well, you've got to learn to be a man.
Okay.
And you have to get rid of, I'm looking for a much more sophisticated word than get rid of, disabuse yourself of your need to set your wife up to fail.
So is my behavior, I mean, it seems like my behavior would be tied closely to being, not having confidence in myself.
That's correct. That's very good. I said you started off with a good beginning, and it's a good middle. Now we have to have a good end. See, how did you lose the confidence in yourself? Who executed that maneuver to rob you of your confidence? What happened to you in life that... Let's talk about that minute. Was your dad? Were your mom? Who was it?
Yeah, I'm not totally sure, but, I mean, I know that... My parents were divorced, and I think that.
Who was the one that you hated the most?
Between my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that is probably. You know, I started to hate. That's a pretty strong word, but.
It's all right. Go ahead.
I don't hate my dad anymore, but I really had strong feelings of. Like a rejection towards my dad I was 16 and after, but I think I had a lack of self-confidence.
Yeah, but let's see. No. Why would your father reject you? Or was it you rejecting your father and you're projecting that he was rejecting you?
Yeah, it was both. That makes sense that he probably, I felt like he probably rejected me because he lived in California and I lived in Pennsylvania.
Well, you're trying to get away from your mother, right? And were you tied closely to your mother then, weren't you? You were closer to your mother than you. Yeah, but I told you, you've been infected by your mother. You thought it was your father, but I say, when you feel, your mother, let me see if I can put it another way, clearer. Children are born bonded to their mothers. And the role of a father is to avoid being bonded himself. Now, bonding is a good thing, but it can't be bondage. There's a big difference between, you know, having a glass of wine with your dinner and being a drunk. See? So there's a difference between sex and then, you know, being a drunk or glutton for it, so to speak. So
okay.
when men are reduced to animals, because that's what women unconsciously do without even trying, and intending to do, but some women are very good at doing it and making a lot of money. And sort of setting a man to death and aggravating him until he gets sick and dies. And so a lot of illness and sickness, it comes from setting each other up to fail in some way. But I just lost a trend of thought. Go ahead with your question, because I'll collect my thoughts again in a minute.
Okay.
But, now remember what it was, just as you started to talk. Sorry. It's all right, because there's a lot to say here. So therefore, you will think, as you're born, your bonding is a psychic or psychological connection. So what your mother feels and thinks towards your father is what you will be programmed into you without words.
Oh, okay.
And she's sitting there silently judging him and hating him, and maybe he struggles to get her approval, but he can't do enough to get her approval, because that's what failing is looking for a person's approval. Men who are men don't look for a woman's approval. That's what makes a man shine. He still loves, but he doesn't need her approval. If you need a person's approval, you can't act as a correcting agent, a modifying influence in your home. You can't look for the approval of your children. You can't. A man, father, cannot come down to the level of his own kids, looking to be their friends, to get approval. So the looking for the love and approval of a woman, a man will wear himself out. But a woman, what a woman really needs is for him not to do that. But she can't help but program to do it because her own ego is involved. She's enjoying the glory of his worship. See that?
I think I understand what you mean by the approval thing. Doing
go
everything,
ahead.
Feeling good about yourself, so that rather than like yearning for this approval of the other person, you just feel confident in yourself.
If your mother had judgment on your father, and your father is trying to overcome the judgment by being the best father he can, and he can't make it, no matter what he does, he keeps failing, and she keeps judging him. And between the two of them, they can't stop. She can't stop judging, and he can't stop failing. That's how it works. And so everybody's like that, to some degree. Sometimes the reverse roles. So you will hate your father with your mother's hatred. You will judge your father with your mother's judgment. So you haven't got your father's judgment, you've got your mother's judgment, but he looks like the bad guy, and your mother looks like the victim. That's why you side with her. But she's...
Oh.
See that? And you get her whole nature.
So how does this tie into the lack of self-confidence?
The lack of self-confidence is resenting your father, because that's a part of this trick of centuries. And our mothers, women don't know they're doing it, but women have an animus, a jealousy of the hierarchy of men. Men are meant to be respected and put in an honorable place, but it's very hard to love an honorable man. Men, only the first man, there's only one man that ever lived that was really that honorable, as perfectly honorable, his name was Jesus. The first man, Adam, you know, he failed the first try, the first go-around. And ever since then, there's the what we call sin, the ability of the serpentine nature of a woman to pass her seductive powers to bring a man down and find the sort of pleasure in it, and yet in pleasure in judging. You said you have a pleasure in judging. That's not manly. That's the woman with a man. And you've inherited that from your mother. So that's why you can't be a man. And I bet you have a nice wife.
And she's
too good for you. She's too good for you.
You might. I just don't realize it.
Yeah. The thing is, you'll never know until you learn to apologize to her for doing this secretly, and come clean with it, and learn to be, you know, not to need her so much. I mean, hold the line. Don't go away, because we've got to make a break here. Prepare another question after the break, because you're an interesting fellow, and I got calls, but I find you intriguing, because you want to know. And I hope I haven't overstepped my mark by talking too much. And so you've got time for a few minutes to think about it. I think this concept needs to be more complete and more understandable. I've said so many things that need clarifying, I'm sure. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder if you are one of those people in America that knows that you're losing your freedoms. And the reason why is because you don't speak up. You cannot if you don't, when you should. You cannot because resentment to stress has prevented it. Anger is the culprit, resentment, actually, towards injustice has prevented all too many of us from expressing their noblest instincts. If emotions have put you down and kept you from speaking up, and when you have the duty and right to do, that is to speak up, then, and you don't, then prepare to cower before tyrants when you lose your freedoms, because you don't use them when you could. How do you expect to live in tyranny and speak up then? They'll kill you. Stress is induced by injustice and defamation, is unconsciously programming this whole nation to do unto others, each one of us to do to others what was done to us. So we actually program each other and preparing each other for and in our servile behaviors for dictatorship. America, wake up, please. At home or school, wherever you are, take stand now. Please get a copy of How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, is the book, and Be Still and Know, which is the basic training of the mind. It's a CD, as discovered by veterans who use it, and it's very effective. Use the drop-down menu to pay what you can afford on the web, and it goes from $5, which is about basically covers the shipping, and to lots of money if you can afford it. Be easier to send a check, though, wouldn't it? Thank you very much. It's the number to call my office is 800-877-3227, and the website is fhu.com, fhu.com. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to take this, my young caller on again, because it's a vital subject, and I don't get people to call in with sufficient inquiry. See, this man isn't simply falling away. He's hanging there, letting me speak, and he's listening. And I can tell he's listening because of the way he responds. I like that. I don't get that often enough. So I tend to want to overstep myself and go maybe too far. But this is a very vital subject. And so anyway, would you mind calling my office tomorrow or business hours, West Coast time, 800-877-3227. And if you can't afford it, that's you call my office if you can't go to the web and download and do the usual tricks of burning a CD, that sort of thing. So, but if you can't afford it or can afford a little, it's only $20 for the CD. I put a price on it. But again, it's such an important tool for basic training of your mind, which you should have learned in school or in church. But they didn't have it to give you, you see. This has been lost for thousands of years, this knowledge, very simple. Anyway, we won't let you get away if you can't afford it. We'll help you, okay? 800-877-3227. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, yes. All right, now, young man,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Giving you another second shot, so I'll shut up for a minute and see what you've learned.
All right, well, we talked about how I need to be a man, and
yes.
This is a trait that I've learned through my dad, which he probably learned through his mom.
Well, actually, you got it directly from your mom. So you, the way,
oh.
You actually got it. That can happen because I only said that because of your quick response. You gave me a quick response, but after talking to you, I showed you how you got it directly from your mother because you both hated your father.
Oh, right.
See? And so, therefore, you were unconsciously, by resenting him, rejecting him, and you thought he was rejecting you, and it was such a mess, he had it run away. He couldn't stand two of you, because there's two women in the house. You were one of them.
Now, could he have rejected me also, though?
Yeah, he could have rejected you also, because you're too much your mother's son.
Okay.
See that?
Yeah.
So you were you're both glaring at him that way. And he felt it. It is an energy feeling in the house.
Well, I mean, they were divorced before.
I know, but the point is, it's an energy feeling you get. It doesn't matter. It's an energy feeling you get because you're living with the root of it.
Right.
Your mother is still the root of what you are, and his failing, because he didn't know how not to fail. And that's the trouble with most men. They don't know how not to fail. They're too eager to get all the goodies they can from it. And, you know, look at the woman, she's an ice cream sundae. And they don't know how to love women. Men don't know how to love women, or most men don't. There are those who rise to the occasion and find what love is. But, you know, after a lot of suffering. Young people couldn't possibly hear what I'm saying. I know you're a young person, but the average young person would laugh at this. See, but I want to read you something.
Okay.
I picked up a newsletter called The Iconoclast. This is from 1983. You weren't born then, were you?
Or were 79.
You? Okay.
Let's see. I was a little youngling.
Okay. But listen, I'll read you just a couple of paragraphs. Ready? I just picked it up. You may not like this. It's a little bit rude, but forgive me. The most important thing to a man is his sense of worth, right? Because you've lost it. So you get it from a woman, don't you? Right?
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. And she keeps failing to give it to you. Because if she gives it to you, you become weaker for it, and you can't understand the bewilderment. And you start to resent her, even if she's loving you.
Huh.
I know lots of... See that? Because in loving you, she's encouraging your weakness for her. And you feel this like betrayal. But her love is actually betraying you. But she doesn't know that. You're putting her in the position to love you. And so when she loves you, you become dependent on it. And when you see that you're losing confidence, that you're losing something you can't put your finger on, pardon the way I said that, the point is, you start to resent her. Unless a lot of people in the movie business, entertainers, have a lot of love from people, they're compensating for an emptiness, and they're doing the same thing with the audience. And so they have to work harder and harder for approval, because their next TV program or their next song has to be more exciting, because the pig people, you know, the pig audience who pig out on his performance, who put him on a pedestal and roar with delight with his antics, with his sloppy love songs and all the rest of it, and the perverted things that he says and does, or even the glorious, beautiful things, they get carried away, are carried in a downward draft, away from being confident. Any kind of dependence like that, any kind of excitement that lifts you up, brings you down. And so the harder they have to try, because once the dependence on a person's approval or a crowd is once you become dependent, the person who is the entertainer has to work harder and harder and harder to make the performance better, because the people are satiated. It's like sex. A woman has to be different every time. That's why men look for different women, because the same woman doesn't give the same thrills. That's why she has to change her makeup and change her negligee and change her hair. She always has to be a different woman. See? So there's something about love that a woman gives you, which she doesn't understand. You can't blame her. But that you're demanding from her, and you don't understand you're doing it, that is setting her up to fail, but her failure is loving you too much. And damned if you get it, because if you get it, you come down for it. You're coming down for love. You're coming to the earth world. You're looking for approval from a mere bag of bones. I don't mean to be rude about your wife, but I have to make it clear. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's flesh and blood. That doesn't save you. Flesh and blood can't save you. It can't give you any sense of worth. The sense of worth you get is false. And because it is, you have conflict. You have pain. And you don't understand the nature of the pain, and you blame her. But you still use her.
So this is all played out in my petty criticalness of
yes, of course, because that's how you feel superior. You're sitting in judgment of your wife, like your mother was sitting in judgment of your dad. I mean, women can do it, and men, when they become feminine, which you are, and not that you're, you know, weird or anything like that, but you have that behavior.
Yeah.
But you're a nice young man. I like you.
Wait, I'm a nice young man?
Yes, you are, because you can take it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I have two more questions. Can you take either one of them?
Yeah, I do. I will.
Two things that I wanted to get some more input on. You said the first one was, is I need to become a man, and that is done by a better relationship with the Holy Ghost.
But first of all, realizing something. Holy Ghost or Spirit talks to you without words. You can't find the Holy Spirit, or you don't know where it is. All it does is makes you feel guilty, and you've got to, and that's one of the reasons why you're focusing your mind on your wife's faults, so you don't have to see the faults, your own fault, your own failing, in the light that's shining in you all the time. That light is the Holy Spirit, but that's what bothers you. So you're actually saying, by looking away from it, I'm rejecting you, God. That's really that light that bothers you and makes you uncomfortable and makes you look away to judge a person so you don't have to feel the judgment on yourself. See, that's what you see. God is judging, and you're playing God by judging. Judge not, lest you be judged. See, the more you judge, the more there's a judgment on you for judging. And so you get more and more pained and more in conflict from this process. You never get well, you get worse. You know, you're dragging your wife down with you. It's just like women drag their husbands down with them.
Yeah.
Follow that? Same principle, you're just playing that role. And so, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and part of the sickness is that, meanwhile, I think I'm right in how I judge.
Of course, that's how women think. Women, if you deal with women, you find the secret life of women is they're always right and never wrong. In other words, they feel superior to men because as I said in the opening of my discussion with you, women have an animus, an inborn animus ever since Eve, the unloved woman, a contempt for men, for the failure of men, because had he said, put the fruit down, she wouldn't have been in such a mess, nor would have him. He'd been in a mess. The whole world would have been different. But the good Lord, in his wisdom, knew that no matter how many Adams and Eves he would create, they'd all behave the same. They'd all make the same mistakes, so there would never be any human race. So he just let them go suffer. And so the suffering, the trend of women setting up to fail and becoming so that the dark side of her rules both of them, that's what happens. She doesn't get to rule him, but she feels important over him. And she will do anything to keep him down or pretend to keep him up, which is just as bad. Because up is down in the kingdom of hell. Every high is a new low. Because men come down for it, see? Pardon the way I said that. But see how that is?
Uh-huh.
So I know you may not remember tomorrow morning what I said this evening, but there's a gist here. There's a common thread of something I'm trying to tell you. The way you cure the problem is, and I will send you a CD so it'll help you, to get the training in the mind. You have that training, that secret place in your mind you need to go to be still and know what I'm saying without having to talk to me about it. But you have to realize that you are judging your father. The reason why you can't be, you can't have the father's identity. Now, your father's identity was a failure, so you resent him for that too, because he failed to be a father to you. If he dealt with your mother correctly, he would have been your hero. And she would have seen him as a hero too, because she needed saving from herself. Now you see the divine order. Man needs to be a man, but in order to be a man, he needs to be saved from a woman. Jesus came to save men from women. And when the man is saved from a woman, he can save her from herself. And herself is not herself. It's the spirit of Paradise Lost that comes through the generations. The worm that dieth not. So your mother is not a bad person necessarily. She's just the center of mischief. Every woman is a center of mischief. No matter how beautiful and how sweet and nice, even the best need the bestest men. But the trouble is the most noble women don't have a bunch of dogs, rabid dogs running after her, all those wolves, because the rabid dogs keep away from her because she's so pure and noble that they're afraid to come near. And so when we ordinary folk get married, like me, we reach down to feel up, if you know what I mean.
That's what I feel like I did too.
That's what I did, but I didn't do it purposely. My wife, I only knew her 2 weeks when I married her, except she got sick when I was gone away, and I called to see how she was. She was in hospital, so she was all alone. I knew she was, so I just had compassion on her. I just felt I drove 300 miles and married her and took her with me. That's what it was, but it wasn't. I didn't have the disciplines then, the understanding, but it didn't take me long to learn. She hasn't still learned what I just told you. She still sits in judgment, and she will tell me it's judgment, but she can't stop. See, and always unconsciously acts as a way, as if she's my mother.
Huh.
See, and they all do that, either secretly or openly. They're unconsciously always setting men up to fail, can't help themselves. But you're doing one-upsmanship. You're doing it to her before she does it to you. Your woman's nature. When a man is a woman, he's a better woman than a woman. She's better at being a woman than a woman is. So when you have a dictator, it's a woman. It's part woman, part man, part woman, and part devil.
But
that's what a dictator.
You mentioned that most people don't know how to properly treat a woman. I definitely feel like I could be in that category.
Yeah, of course you are. And now the reason why is because you have to forgive your father. In other words, if you've got to forgive your mother too, because she played a big part in this, and she sort of looked like the good person that made her. So between the two, he looked worse. So that you gravitate to her, you didn't want to be like him. So therefore, you're stuck with your mother, and so you got her identity. So you've got to really see now, the first person to forgive is your father. Because you're basically, your wife is in the same role. You know what it's like to be a woman. You're setting up to... You see that? Hold a second. I'm enjoying talking to this man. I don't know what... He's interested. And so I would talk to you that way if I could just get conversation going with somebody. But I'm Roy Masters, and we'll be right back with the commercial. The next caller, as it reads this from Las Vegas, I'm afraid of entering into a relationship. I can understand why. There's danger lies ahead. There's all kinds of reefs. Okay, so anyway, I have some good books on the subject. I was going to read from this news article, the article from 1983. I really should read it before the end of the show because I said I would. It's got some interesting stuff in it which is relevant to what I was talking to Brad about. But I have several books, and one of them is How to Survive Your Parents, and it's got all this in it. Another was Understanding Sexuality. That's a good one. And The Adam and Eve Syndrome. That's a good one. And it all has to do with what I'm talking about. You'll find it. Open up any page, and you'll see it. You'll see it, but there'll also be a solution. And I'm getting close to the solution in talking to this gentleman. First of all, we have to define the problem, don't we? We have to define the problem, and we have to see what the problem is. And it's not necessarily what you do. It's a state of mind. It's a state of mind where you're either willing to face your faults or you're not. See, in this case, Brad is beginning to see he's not willing to face his faults. And how did he do it? The mechanism is to judge his wife. See? And if he was a woman, he would do the reverse of that, or he would do the same thing. You set the man up to fail so that he fails and she doesn't see what that fault is that needs him to fail. Now you understand that. So everybody says, well, we're only human. Everybody's got faults. What's yours? You can't tell me, can you? You either smoke too much or drink too much. Nonsense. That's not the fault. That's the evidence of it. All right. Now, call my office tomorrow, would you? Would you have pencil and pad, write this number down, please? 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227. We'll be right back. Let me see. One other thing. FHU.com. You have a download coming, and all you have to do is go to that number, that web number, FHU.com. I hope I said it right. And go to the home page and drop-down menu, download, and you get a free pass to a lot of good things. And then some of you might want to upgrade to the treasure chest, where it's years and years and years and back, going to 20, 30, 40 years back, all the things I've been doing and saying. And I think you'll find it very interesting and valuable. A very interesting way and good way to spend your money supporting me and helping others. We'll be right back.
To Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
All right, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Is Brad still there? Yes.
Hi.
He is. Yep. Now, Brad, let's go to the solution.
Okay.
Now, every father... Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, you said a second ago... You were kind of saying on the air or whatever that we need to define the problem well. Have we done that?
Yes, just about. But now we're going to the solution.
Okay.
You've got your mother's nature, and you're stuck with it, and that's not good.
Okay.
And your wife resents you for it, and your children will too.
Yeah.
Your children will resent you like you resented your father, because being a woman is not being a man. And a man is needed in the house as a modifying influence, morally modifier of negative influences in the home. You're only one duly appointed for the job. Women are not good at correction. It's not their role to morally correct, to nobly correct, to be the one that you look up to and respect by his example, is the one that women tear down. And when politicians become feminized, women. And ambitious, that's the first thing to do, is tear down everything that's good, in case you haven't noticed it. Everyone who's decent, they tear down. They mock. They degrade. They talk to the right like they were, you know, idiots. Defame. Degrade. Your father's no good, your father's this and your father's that. That's how they talk. And that's all feminine. So it's little wonder that your father couldn't make it because he didn't have the knowledge I'm about to impart to you. So you have to understand that when it's to honor your father, mother and father, it's very hard to honor someone who is not honorable. However, you've got to have to love the father, forgive the father you can see, or he's the one that's alive, that represents, is supposed to be a representative of heaven on earth, but he wasn't, because the relationship that went from generation to generation saw to it that it didn't happen, so that you got screwed, and you go on being a bad example to your children, and say they get screwed, and they grow up, and it goes on like that forever, until the whole world collapses. You see, so because of lack of men, and that lack of that golden thread, silver thread, that connection to heaven on earth through the man. See, the intercessor, God sent Jesus to do a man's job, but he wouldn't send a woman to do a man's job. Man has to do this job. Men have to come back to their homes. However, you drove your father off. You didn't know you were doing it. So you drove God off. When you hate your father, you can see. This is the trick by siding with your mother in her judgments of your dad, is to set him up to fail and to hate him so that you cannot be a man. So the next generation gets ruined also, because the devil has sworn in his mind that he will multiply misery and suffering and war upon the children of light, until there's no one left to enter to inherit the kingdom. That's the bad news. The good news, people like me are around to every now and then, given the gift of understanding, to get you to see that you've got to forgive your father, because he may not be a bad guy. And if I were you, I'd go and have a chat with him sometime. Say, Dad, you know what? I see what's wrong. I was looking through my mom's eyes at you, and I can understand why you ran away. I see I'm suffering from it myself. I've got her nature. I've still got her nature, and I still resent you. I've got to let you go. I have to let you go. You've got to let him go first. You've got to forgive him. Let me realize how wrong you are for judging. That is the beginning of the rest of your life. Then you become a new man, and your wife will look at you differently.
So as I do this with my dad, it'll kind of simultaneously be happening with my wife, it sounds like.
Something magic will be happening with your whole family.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to send you a CD. Do you have a computer? I imagine you do if you're 27 years old, right?
Yep, I do.
Well, download the CD. It's only $5 if you can't afford it. Or I'll send you one. If you download it, get it tonight.
What's it called?
Be Still and Know. Main page, and then you get a free, what do they call it? I can't find it now. A free membership.
Okay.
And then you can peruse a lot of things. You can hear my Sunday morning talks, and you can hear the refeeds of the radio program, and you can text message me on Sunday morning from, you know, 2 hours on video. We have a high-definition video broadcast every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. There you are. Listen, I enjoyed talking with you.
Hey, thank you so much. I just wanted to – can I make one more comment before I go?
Quickly, because we've got to go.
Okay. Yeah, I've been taking a lot of your time. Thanks for all your time. So I just kind of noticed that part of my trial or part of my test is I got to forgive my dad and simultaneously –
Let him go, Stop resenting him. Just realize, oh, my God, what have I done? I've drove my father off, and my mother didn't know she'd put her nature in me. And she didn't know what she was doing. She was just rising to the appease the nature of a man, like every woman does. But then she gets entangled this way, setting him up to fail, and setting herself up to fail, and you up to fail. And your father isn't there anymore to stop her from making a home in you. So she dies on this earth without a man to love her. So, I know, your mother's still alive, I hope. You may have a nice effect on her when you find who you are as a man. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks very much, Brad. And call me if you need any help. I'd always look forward to talking with you. All right, we'll be right back. Do you suffer from anxiety? And do you struggle with anger, fear, guilt, and depression? Have you been searching for the key to free your mind from mental chatter and emotional conflict? The answer you've been seeking has been helping people for over 46 years. Perhaps you've heard of a simple mind-quieting technique called Be Still and Know. Please feel free to download it without obligation at fhu.com. The good news is, you already have within you the power to solve your own problems, but first you need to see how those daily little irritations to stress mount up and cause you to implode into unbearable repression or explode and lose control. Be Still and Know is a simple do-it-yourself, life-changing experience now available over the Internet, free, without any obligation. Go to fhu.com and rediscover the carefree innocence of a little child. If you do, you will never forget the day you heard this message. Thank you.
The best advice I ever received was years ago I called you up and I told you about a problem that I had. And you said, watch it. And then I said, well, what happens if this comes up? And you said, watch it. At the time it seemed trivial, but I learned just by following the advice that you gave me that has power.
Can it be that simple that just by watching can keep you from overreacting to stress? That watching can wash away the endless loop of thoughts along with those willful struggles that compounded all your problems? Keep on watching, and tormentors stay on the outside of your head. The watcher has peace of mind. There's good and noble power in a special kind of watching. Feel free to download a powerful mind-quietening technique, CD, called Be Still and Know at fhu.com. Alternatively, call 866-RADIO-ROY, business hours, Pacific Coast Time. Rediscover the carefree innocence of a little child. For if you do, you will bless the day you heard this message. fhu.com or 866-